The first thing that I would like to say to you about this particular talk is that Susan Blaker in the front row had some input into this talk, and I want to be sure to recognize her and her contribution to it. All right, my talk is What's It Really Like? And just to warn you, the first part of this talk, Bob thought was pretty depressing, so just there'll be an end to it. That's what I can promise you. All right, what is it like? What is it really like to be isolated? What is it really like not to be able to touch and hug your loved ones and your friends? What is it really like to have your life so drastically interrupted, to lose your social life as you've known it? What's it really like not to be able to worship where and when and how you've been used to worshiping, to lose your ability to have face-to-face interactions with your support groups? What's it really like to not be able to travel and know that it's safe to do so? What's it like to lose control of common things in our lives, the psychological comforts and the physical comforts? What's it really like to not be able to be with a loved one who's dying, or to just be in the hospital with somebody who's having some other kind of treatment that's not related to COVID? What is it really like to be dying without your loved ones with you? What is it really like to be a medical worker and see death everywhere you turn and feel like the work will never end? What is it like, really like, to see the growing numbers of lives lost? What is it really like to know that millions of our fellow citizens are without work now and their basic needs are at risk? What's it really like to watch businesses just go away? Will it ever be the same for us again? What's it really like to lose your ability to get common, ordinary things? You know, we went for months, we couldn't get paper products. And now it appears that medications are hard to come by sometimes. And then we have this. We watch the inhumane treatment of people towards other people. And now we have a hurricane in the Gulf, and those of us here know exactly what those people are going through. What's it like to watch that and remember? To tell you the truth, there are times I feel twisted inside because it's so foreign, it is so empty, it is so unsatisfying. So here's where we are. And I mean to emphasize the word really. What is really going on inside of you and me? Our strong emotional reactions have to be dealt with. If you haven't experienced fear and or anxiety in the past few months, I'd have to guess that you've been locked in a closet, or you've had your head in the sand, or you're very good at denying your reality. Now, this is a parenthesis. One of the things about being the second person to talk is the first one chairs my topics. So my next statement was the first time we see fear is in Genesis 3. Well, we've been through that. The Adam and Eve were so afraid after they had taken the apple that they hid and they sewed fig leaves. Now, as I was preparing this talk, my next thought went to sewed fig leaves. What would that look like in the Garden of Eden? Do they have a sewing machine? What about snaps or glue? I mean, they had to attach them somehow. I don't know. It was just a flight of fancy in my head at the time. All right. Because fear is part of the human condition, we have to learn how to maneuver, overcome, and succeed in spite of it, and to face it without more fear. And Jesus died to help us do that maneuvering and to overcome and thrive in spite of it, and in the end to stand with us in the face of it. And these are my words that he's saying to you. Have faith in me and give it to me. That's what he says over and over again. Face it, turn to him, rebuke it, renounce it, call it what it is, a liar. And you know that acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. Many of the fears that we face are just that. They're false evidence, just tempting us to feel and sense that it's a very real danger, and it isn't. It's just a liar. But however, this time in our lives, we are actually facing a very real enemy in the form of this virus that is not false evidence. It is very real and dangerous, but it doesn't have to take the substance of our faith away and keep us in its control. So here are some ways to help deal with the emotional impact of fear and other negative emotions. St. Augustine said that emotions are the feet of the soul. They either move us closer to God or farther away, but without them we go nowhere. Thought that was an interesting quote. Being aware of our emotions can actually draw us closer to God. Now, and I don't want to finger point at you men, but I guess I am. This talk is for you too, because you're not numb. You don't walk around without emotions. You just aren't used to expressing them as much as women. Is that a fair statement to make? So I'm challenging you. This is just as much for you as it is the other gender. Because we set up barriers when we don't face them by making excuses, rationalizing our behaviors, deceiving ourselves, and being dishonest with God, which just pushes him away. A powerful transformation can take place in our lives with the Lord when we pour out our hearts to him like water. And Psalm 62 says that. It says, pour out your hearts like water. And David is showing us, he's modeling the behavior. Pour it out. You know what? You pour it out like water in a bucket. You know how the water goes out when you tip it. There's nothing inhibiting about it. It just goes. That's what the Lord wants us to do with what's in our hearts. Some ways to do this. One is to be honest with yourself and with God and or with a trusted friend. The trusted friend part is very important because you don't want to pour out your heart to somebody that you can't trust or who's eager to share your pain with someone else. And then I'm going to read. I love reading the Message Bible because I can understand it. But it says, starting at let's just start at 4 and go to 8. Tell me, what's going on, God? How long do I have to live? Give me the bad news. You've kept me on pretty short rations. My life is string too short to be saved. Oh, we are all puffs of air. Oh, we're all shadows in the campfire. Oh, we're just spit in the wind. We make our pile and then we leave it. So the thing about David is he is really seriously a terrific model for getting your emotions out, because he does it in almost every psalm that he wrote. So feel free, have permission to be honest with yourself. Now, the kinds of things that you can do beyond sharing is find things that work for you. Bible reading and Bible writing. Just in the past 3 or 4 years, I've started taking up the practice of writing scripture. And I don't know if you've ever have experienced that, but when I am done, I feel washed by the word. And I literally am. My soul has been washed by the word. So I highly recommend it to anybody. And meditating on the scripture, of course. And then praying. Music. Playing music or listening to it can be very helpful. Reading books on faith. And one of those tips, how many of you received the tips? that we did. So one of the tips I suggested was that you read books that you've put aside. You know, you've been waiting for the time to do it. It's a good time to do that now. Being creative. We have found, and we wanted to end today with a creativity workshop, but because of all the hand-holding, the brushes and pens and papers, we simply couldn't do it. We are going to provide a way for you to be creative on your way out of here, but it's a great way to let go and just, again, let out whatever it is that you're feeling. My next point is to limit time watching media. Can that ever be a downer? Yeah, it's important to know what's going on, but not to submerge yourself into it. Don't let yourself get paralyzed. Can you get outside? Big muscle activities. You know, one of the things I love doing, and I haven't done for a long time, is hitting a tennis ball against a wall. Just slamming it, if that's how what you feel about doing it. Obviously, running and walking are great exercise. Gardening, building things, biking, and then inside activities, there are lots of brain-building activities in books now that you can get. And my last and final favorite suggestion is journaling. And those of you who know me are going to probably go, oh no, here she goes again. It's been the most helpful thing for me in my life. So what's really going on? You get real with yourself to get real with God, and you can do that on a piece of paper. Can you dare to come to Jesus with what's deep down inside of you, those deep, dark uglies about you? Can you dare to come to him with that? C.S. Lewis says, bring to God what is in you, not what ought to be in you. The oughts keep us from telling the truth and feeling the truth. It's worth a try. God knows it all anyway. Are you thinking you'll shock him? I don't think so. Getting in touch and owning your dirty laundry with him is a way to release it, to take away its power, to bring the light of Jesus into a place that has been dark and where you might have lived for far too long. Bring everything to him, not just the fear and anxiety, but don't hold back your anger, your woundedness, your hatred, your confusion, your hurtful memories, your inner damage, past sins and sorrows. And, the list goes on. My list is longer. Yours is longer, too. Now, at this point, when I was sharing this talk with Bob said, boy, that's all bad news. You can share in your journal your joys, too. That's true, you can. And we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to listen in on a conversation that Susan and Jeanette are going to have with each other, and we're going to demonstrate about how you might or might not share your emotions. Okay, we have to do, yeah.
Is it?
All three of them are on. You'll understand that you can't see this. I'm closer. Okay. That was shocking.
All right. This is the circumstance.
Can you hear me?
There we go. Jeanette has just had some bad news, and her heart really is broken about the fact that her family that she sees once a year, they all get together up in the mountains, some come as far as California, and she's not able to do that this year. She runs into her friend Susan.
Oh, hey, Susan.
Hi, Jeanette. I was so glad I ran into you. I've been thinking about you.
Oh, yeah. You must be getting really excited. Isn't your trip coming up soon? This one you've been going on for like 40 years every year?
Well, it was. But with COVID, it had to be canceled. It's okay. It's no big deal. I mean, we'll do it again next year. We've been doing it every year for 40 years. What's missing one year? It's no big deal. But you know what? I gotta run. I'll catch up with you later.
That's not the way we would recommend you do this. These two people are very close friends. This is a trusted friend, and Jeanette chooses to turn around and run from it because she's feeling deeply the loss of this family gathering. So now we would like to show you a way that might be more full of wholeness than the previous one.
Susan, how
hey,
you doing?
Jeanette. I'm so glad I ran into you.
Yeah, it's good
you
to
must
see
be
you.
So excited getting ready for your trip that's coming up.
Well, you know, I was. But with COVID, we're not going to be able to do it this year. And you know, Susan,
oh,
it's
no.
been so hard. It's just been really hard. I've just felt a lot of pain and anguish over not being able to see them. Will we see them next year? Will this go on some more? It's just hurt so badly.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that you've been doing this for so long.
I know, it's just been a part of who we are, and it's just been so hard. And you know, another thing, I've been so angry. Mm. And I wasn't sure what to do with my anger, and finally I just realized I need to sit down with the Lord, get out my journal, and start writing, and tell him exactly how I feel. And I was able to do that, and he came with comfort. But I'll tell you, it's just been hard. I feel like I'm still grieving, and it's been weeks that we've known.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was kind of feeling the same way last week, and I felt myself, I was angry about it, but I just said, well, I shouldn't be angry about this. So it's, I'm so glad to hear that you can feel that way.
Oh,
that we're on the same page. Hey,
yeah.
You want to go grab a bite for
I'd
tea?
Love to. I'd
okay.
love to. Let's
All right.
go.
Can still use it, yeah, okay. All right, so you saw a positive interaction. Jeanette was not fooling herself or Susan. She was owning the situation. So that's the model we want you to go away with in your mind. Now, for years, I've had what I call a trash journal. So just journaling is a good idea in my mind, but also having a place. Someone told me about this. This wasn't my idea originally. So you have a place to put all the good things, and then in my trash journal, I put all the uglies, everything. And then I make sure that it's in a place where when I die, nobody will find it. Actually, what I do is I tear up the pages and throw it away or put them through the paper shredder. But it honestly, for me, it gets it outside of me and gone. And again, I feel the presence of the Lord, and I feel like I've given it to him. So, I highly recommend that. We come into his freedom. We understand his love and acceptance, and it helps us to face them faster. To own them, embrace them. And then the Lord gave me a slogan, release them to reduce them. So when you release them, you actually reduce the influence that the negative emotions have on your life and the way you think and the way you behave. Now, when you're expressing your emotions, we have three rules. And the first one is don't hurt yourself. And the second one is don't hurt others. And the third one is don't break anything. Now, I did run across a family who were really into this, and they have gone to junk shops and purchased china and have a room in their house where they can slam the china against the wall in their anger fits. So if you want to do that, that's okay, but I don't have a room. I might do it if I had a room. Okay. All right. And again, I direct you to the Psalms and to David and his action of getting out the ugly stuff inside of him, and he almost always ends up in praise because you've got room to praise at that point. All right. Now I want to talk about the antidotes to fear and anxiety. Patience being the first. I think I've put the definition there for you. Bearing annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, or losing your temper or being irritated. The ability to stay at peace when faced with delay. It gets personal here. That's what I can't stand in that line. It's against my religion to stand in that line. You know, it is quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care, and diligence, and often referred to as long-suffering. Now, I never particularly have liked praying for patience because you know what happens. Everything goes wrong that can go wrong, and you think you're supposed to have it together and not respond the way you want to. And I think it's a gauge. The Lord says, oh, we may need to work on that. This kind of patience that we're talking about, though, is the patience of the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians 5:22. It's where you get on board with God and go at his speed, not yours. It's important to remember he doesn't need your guidance here or your pushy efforts. Does that ring true to anybody besides me? But patience requires us to wait, and for me, that is rarely fun. However, the end result, as James says in chapter 1, is it brings us closer to completeness in Jesus. This is not something that you can will into existence. You have to sit before the Lord and let him do his work in you. And that I've provided a lot of scriptures there in hopes that if you'd feel drawn to study them, you'll have a good experience with that. All right, another antidote is waiting. In that patient state, powerful things can happen while you wait. Transformation by building spiritual muscles, thinking of new possibilities, finding new personal freedom, becoming more Christ-like and spiritually alert. And I want to say it again. Powerful things can happen when you wait. And most of you can quote Isaiah 40 for me, probably. This is Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. That's from waiting. Powerful things can happen when you wait on the Lord. More scriptures for you. And then hope. Hope is an expectation. It looks forward with desire and confidence. It means to desire something or to rely upon it. This hope is given by the Holy Spirit. It can't be seen either. We draw near to God as we accept what can't be seen, but grow to expect his faithfulness. And one John calls it the way of purification. And then there are more scriptures for you. And the last one is trust. Reliance on the integrity, strength, ability of a person or of our God. Confidence, confident expectation, hope. Now, Jeanette was given an acronym for a trust. Turn, rise up, see truth. Turn, rise up, see truth. I like that. Okay, we're talking about trust. The Old Testament is full of accounts where the Israelites did not trust God. And when they didn't trust him, very bad things happened to them. However, when they did trust him, he went to all manner of help to get good things to them. He met all their needs. He won battle after battle. He led them on a safe path to their destinations. He fed them. He got them to water, and it can go on and on. God places a high value on trust. God places a high value on trust. And I also heard somebody say not long ago that if you trust God, it's a form of spiritual warfare. And I got to thinking about that. And just think, if you trust the Lord, you slam the door on Satan. You don't make yourself available to him. I choose to trust the Lord. I do trust the Lord. Now, think of all those that are mentioned in the Bible that either trusted God before they actually knew him or trusted him after their encounter with him. And I just have a very short list. The woman at the well, Jairus and his daughter who got healed, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, the man who had sat at the pool of Bethsaida for 30 years, the disciples, every one of the disciples, Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene, Mary, his mother, the 5,000 he fed on the hillside, and those he delivered from demons, not to mention some powerful people, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And we could spend all day with this list, couldn't we? Of the old in the New Testament and old people who were touched by him. The more we trust him, the more we are changed. We are forever changed. And I've given you some more scriptures. I hope you take advantage of all the scriptures here because it could be days filled with study and meditating on these scriptures and putting yourself in a place that in the midst of this crisis and the potential for so many things changing in our lives, we don't have to let that blow us in the wind. It can help us to be steady and holding on and leaning into Jesus. So now you have some choices. Do you use the courage it will take to be totally honest with God about who you are and what you're really going through now during these extraordinary times? Or will you choose to try and hide out from him? Do you grow bitter or get better as you face all the changes and challenges in your life right now? Bitter or better over all the losses you've had? Do you choose to grow in your trust of the Lord or to stay in a state of self-pity and anxiety? Remember that none of this is taking God by surprise. He has known all along what was going to happen, and he wants you to use this time to surrender your hearts to him so that he can bring you to a place closer to himself. Now, hopefully there won't be another time like this in our lives. We'll somehow get through it no matter how long it takes. But I hope you go away with this sense and this desire. Let's not miss him now. because there may never be another time like this, and there are specific spontaneous circumstances that are happening now that God is inviting us, you and me, to take part in it with him so that we will be forever changed more like him. But if we go to sleep, if we are feeling sorry for ourselves, if we turn the TV on and don't move, if we bury ourselves in exercise or whatever, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss him. Let's not miss him now. All right, so I shared with you that I love the Message Bible, and I don't use it for study, but it brings life to the scriptures in ways that I need it to. And so I ran across Romans 12, 1 and 2, and interestingly enough, those of you who go to Christ Church, Deborah Gordon chose that for the communicator this week as well. So there must be a thing going about Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. This is what it says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your every ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen. So now I have a slide presentation that I'd like to show you, and it's all about emotions, and I don't have a clicker, Bob. Do I need a clicker? Okay, you're gonna do it for me, great. All right, so here's a series of pictures of animals, and I want you to decide which one you are. That's a ferret. Okay, Bob, next one. And he represents being anxious and unfocused, because you know how ferrets do. Anxious and unfocused. Okay, next one. A kangaroo with a baby in its pouch. Okay, next one. Overly protective and controlling. Okay, the next one, Bob. There's nothing on earth that is more loyal than a dog. They're trusting and loyal. Okay, the next one, Bob. There's the ostrich. Okay, the next one. The next one, Bob. Isolated and withdrawn. Now, I like to think of the ostrich as burying his head in the sand, but he isolates himself and withdraws when that happens. Okay, and the tiger, representing anger. Okay, and the dog, representing sadness and depression. That dog looked pretty sad, didn't it? Okay, and the giraffe. Oblivion, heads in the cloud. Giraffes got, you know, they're in oblivion, okay. Dolphins, free and joyful. And here is a sheep. And that sheep is scared to death. Fear and paralyzing. Okay, my final question is, which one are you?